How you guys doing this morning? You know, I got here and everyone kept asking me if I was preaching today. I don't know if I look different than I normally do. I know I'm a campus minister. I usually wear jeans, but decided to dress up a little bit. So if you don't know who I am, my name is Jacob Rissman. My wife Sammy and I help lead the campus ministry with Sarah and Calvin, who was here and is now serving in Springfield. And it has been awesome to be here. We moved here last January. The idea was we're going to be here for a year, we're going to get training, and then Vince was going to send us out. So we've been here for over a year, and we're still here. Vince just gave us a new contract, so I guess we're here for eternity, as Vince keeps telling people. But we're grateful. We're excited to be here. We guess Vince liked us enough to keep us around. But I wanted to start out this morning by just saying thank you. I want to thank the church, because you guys have been such a light, not just to Sammy and I, but to our campus ministry. And it's been just so encouraging to see your hospitality. You know, many of you have come up to us. You can go ahead and put the slides up. You can just start with the first slide. But many of you have come up to us and said, hey, we want to have you into our home. We want to have the college students over, and we want to feed you. We all know college students love a good home-cooked meal, right? So we're grateful for that. You guys hosted campus swap students. If you don't know what that is, we had 2 weeks in a row last spring where students from Mizzou came in and then students from Northwest Arkansas came in, and they just evangelized on our campuses here in St. Louis. But you guys hosted them, you took care of them, and you guys have done so much more. And so I'm grateful. You know, we started when we got here, our Friday night devotionals, there was like 3 students at some of them. Honestly, it was a little discouraging. We're like, all right, there's more staff than students. But I want to show you a picture. So this was our Christmas party this year. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. And this is the group in December. Yeah, it's a funny picture. We got our Christmas pajamas on. But God has moved so much. From sometimes 3 to I think I counted 18 students in this picture. But that's not just because of me, Sammy, Sarah. That's you guys. You guys have been a light to us. And so I'm grateful for that. And I'm excited to get to stay here and to get to continue to see God move, not just in our ministry, but across the church, with the planting of St. Charles, with the, you know, the starting up of the single moms ministry. So much. There's been so many ways that the church is growing and being a light. So I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer, and we'll dive into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for who you are. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, just worshiping with my family. Lord, I'm so grateful to get to be here. And I'm grateful for the call that you give us to be a light to the world. And man, it's a big task. There's a lot of darkness, but you entrusted that with us. Lord, and I pray that as we study out this theme of the light of the world this year, you know, that we can not only draw closer to you, but that we can be outward focused, that we really can make an impact on this world. So just thank you for all that you do. I pray that you speak through me this morning. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, so as I said, our theme for the year is the light of the world. You know, it's a call to go out, to bring hope, to be a beacon of hope, and to bring people to God. You know, as you are the light of the world, as Jesus calls us to be, you know, we know that Jesus desires for us to go out and be this beacon of hope, to bring people to the Father. And that's not just the call for us today, but all throughout the Bible. That was always the call of God's people. For Israel, God put them right in the middle of everything. You know, this plot of land that connects all of Africa with Eurasia. The trade routes go through there. That was intentional. They were put in the perfect spot to be a light to the world. And the same is true for us today. God desires for us to be the light. And so for the next 10 weeks or so, we're actually going to study out what is our source of light. Because if we want to be the light of the world, we have to start by looking inward. Where does our light come from? Why do we need light in the first place? So go ahead and turn over to Genesis chapter 1, to the very beginning. Because this is where the Bible introduces us to this idea of light. So the title of my lesson this morning is Let There Be Light. And I have 3 points, and hopefully by the end of it, you're able to answer this question of what is my source of light? Genesis 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." In the beginning, the earth, it was formless. It was empty. It was covered in darkness. You know, to say the least, that's probably not a place where you're wanting to live. That's not a place where life would thrive. But God looked at the earth, this formless thing, and he had an incredible vision. And so God begins his creation saying, "Let there be light." And there was light. The story of creation begins with this. With light. But why? Why start with the light? Because without the light, there is no life. So that's the first point this morning. No light, no life. Life cannot exist without light. I'm a science guy. If you don't know much about my background, I got a bachelor's degree in animal science, with a minor in captive wild animal management, and a master's degree in genomics. All science field, all working with life, right? None of which I'm using today, by the way. But I love what I'm doing, so amen. But looking at life from a scientific point of view, without the sun, the Earth's source of light, we would not be able to survive. Light is vital for life, all life on our planet. And the sun is that source. So I want to take you back to what was probably about fourth grade science class for a minute. Right. Next slide, please. All right, there we go. You've probably seen a picture something like this. This is a very basic version of it, right? But all life starts from the sun. Is our source of light. The sun gives light, and the grass takes that light, using that and carbon dioxide, and it makes energy. And then the cows eat the grass, the energy transfers to the cows, so they can live. And if you're like me, you like to eat cows. And so I get my energy from the cows. You get their energy from the grass. To get their energy from the sun. Without the sun, we could not survive. We rely on it for energy. And so without light, there is no possibility for life. And knowing this, it makes sense that the first thing God would create is light. Light is the foundation that enables not just life to appear, but to thrive. And when God made the light, guess what he said? He said, "Oh, now this is good." Just like he said with all of his creation, it's good. Life requires light. And it's not just in the physical sense, as this picture demonstrates, but the same is true with our spiritual lives. You know, if we want to live, if we want to thrive, we need a source of light. So I want to ask you, church, what is your source of light? What is the thing that you rely on to survive? Your source of strength, your source of energy, your source of life. And there's a lot of things that we can try and make a light in our world. Romantic relationships, wealth, success, fame, the perfect family, friendships, a career, and the list goes on and on. But none of these things will sustain us. None of these things is a true source of light, no matter how much the world tells you that they are. And if you really think about it, all of those things that I just listed, they're things that we create for ourselves. They're things that we work towards. They're not given to us. They're not a source of light. They're not our life. So if these things in the world aren't our true source of light, then what is? Where does life come from? And of course, the Bible tells us. John chapter 1, pick up in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You know, John declares that Jesus is our ultimate source of life. He is our source of light. So that's my second point this morning, is that Jesus is our light. In the beginning was the Word. Sounds kind of familiar. Sounds like what we just read in Genesis. You know, and John does that intentionally. You know, to his Jewish audience, he says, man, when we're talking about Jesus, this is where it goes back to. It goes back to the story of creation, to the beginning of life itself. You know, John is declaring that Jesus is the living Word of God. Not just that he was with God in the beginning, but that he is God. And God spoke the Word into existence. You know, everything he created and brought to life, Jesus wasn't just there. It was made through him. He is the Word that was spoken. He is the Word of God. Life comes from him. Now that's a statement to open up a gospel, right? The good news. And the purpose of John is to portray to his Jewish and Gentile audience who's living in this Greco-Roman world who Jesus is. That he is the Messiah. That he is the Son of God. That he is God. And the Jews, they would have picked up on this. In the beginning, all right, I got you. I know where we're at. I know where we're going. What about everybody else? So the word that John uses for the Word is logos. And logos in Greek philosophy, it refers to the divine reason and creation of the cosmos. Again, everything comes from Christ. It goes back to him. It's this picture of creation. Not just for the Jews, but for everybody else that heard this. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. You know, the sun was created to bear light on earth physically. But Jesus bears the light of life for us spiritually. Yeah, see, someone caught on. And he also created us physically, amen? Without him, we are nothing. Life is found in him alone. He is the light of all mankind, not just some, all mankind. So why does this matter? Because if we want to experience life, our light has to come from Christ. And as I was writing this, you know, it reminded me of my life before I became a Christian. I grew up going to church. I grew up believing in God. I read my Bible a decent amount. I prayed that same repetitive prayer before bed every night. I was a pretty good kid. You can ask my mom, right? I was a good kid. I was fairly obedient. Maybe don't ask my sister. She might disagree. But you can ask my mom. But my life wasn't found in Christ. You know, there were all these things that I was chasing after, trying to find my identity in, trying to prove my worth, whether that was academics, athletics, musically, all these things I was trying to make my source of light, to find my identity in. But I remember just feeling unfulfilled. Man, those things could never fill the void, and I didn't know what I was missing. But I was looking for something to make me feel alive. I was going through the motions of life, but I wasn't really living. And it's because I failed to recognize who Jesus was and how badly I really needed him. So let's continue in John, picking up in verse 6. It says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Do you recognize Jesus as your source of light? Is your life found through him? Or are you wandering, looking for something to fill the void? You know, it's like I shared, I knew who Jesus was. I would say I believed in him, but I didn't know what it meant to let him be my source of light, to make him my life. I felt lost, looking for something to give me that sense of purpose, to make me feel alive. And unfortunately, not everybody chooses to live for him. But for those who do, you're called the child of God. You know, Jesus offers us eternal life with the Father, our Father. This is not something that can be found in anything the world has to offer. The life that Jesus has for us is so much greater. It's so much more fulfilling. And there will still be hardships, right? The trials don't just go away. But living for Christ, there's a sense of hope, a sense of peace, of joy, knowing that we have a loving Father who cares for us, who protects us, who fights for us. And someday, he'll be there to welcome us home as his children. But Jesus is our source of light. He is our source of life. And it isn't just enough to recognize who he is, right? But to recognize him, to believe in him, is to choose to actually live it out. When you believe that he is who he says he is, that should change your life. So it's not just knowing that Jesus is our light, but it's the call to walk in the light. And that's my third point for this morning. God desires for us to walk in the light of Christ. You can go to the next slide. He wants us to receive everlasting life. He wants to welcome us into his arms as his children. And to walk in the light is to live in full devotion of him. That every area of your life, he is your light. He is the one directing your path. He is your lamp. He is the lamp to your feet. It's to continually spend time seeking after him in prayer, reading the scriptures, reflecting on his word. You know, as Ron talked about a couple weeks ago, it's confessing our sin. It's being open about our life. But then it's repenting of the sin, changing it, fixing our eyes on God, and then choosing to get baptized as a response, partaking in his death, burial, and resurrection. And this is what it says in Romans 6. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is how we enter into his light, church. And when we do, we receive new life. We become children of God. So have you entered his light? Have you died with Christ so you could be raised with him in the glory of the Father? And if you haven't made this decision, what are you waiting for? Please go ask somebody to sit down, study the Bible, dive into the scriptures, to teach you what it means to repent, to be baptized. Because this is the best decision you could ever make. There is nothing better than living your life in the light, living it for Christ. But just because you've repented of your sins and have gotten baptized, it doesn't mean you're done. Right? It doesn't mean that you can just go and do whatever you want. Continuing in verse 6, it says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." Not we lived, live. We are called to continually walk in the light of Christ. He is our life. Our old self has been crucified. There's nothing to go back to. It's dead. We must remain connected to the source. We can't walk away. We have to walk towards. You must live with him, not just the day we made him Lord, but every single day until we make it home. You know, Jesus calls us to be the light of the world because he is the light of the world. When we walk in the light, we reflect him to the world around us. And people tend to notice when you've been exposed to the light. You know, it makes me think of what happens when the weather starts to get a little bit nicer. Spring, summer months roll around. People tend to spend a little bit more time outside. All right, what happens? Your outward appearance starts to change. The more we expose ourselves to the sun, the more it changes us. And if you really want to change your complexity, you're intentional about it. right? You go and you seek the time and you sit there. You suntan, right? You sunbathe. You go and you soak up the sun. But when someone's suntanning, what does it look like? They're kind of just sitting there. Not really doing much. Maybe they're reading a book. They might just be taking a nap. Maybe they're talking with somebody next to them. But they're there. The sun is what's doing all the work. And it's the same with our spiritual lives. When we walk, when we want to walk in the light, when we want to walk with God, we have to remain close to Him. And all it takes is a little time to soak up His sun. You know, some days it might be in shorter intervals, right? You might not have as much time, but it's as you're going through life. Man, let me just pray on my car ride. Even if it's just the verse of the day, let me get that in. And sometimes it's going to be a little bit more intentional, where you got to go out and sit in His glory, sit in His presence. Church, we need to spend time in prayer, reading the scriptures, just sitting in the presence of the Son. That's what will change us. That's what will allow us to be a light, to reflect His glory to the world. You know, and that change isn't just outward. It's inward. It's in the heart. But like our spiritual lives, what happens when we don't spend consistent time in the sun? The tan starts to fade. The light starts to dim. We need to continually walk with Him, to be in His presence, taking in the glory of the sun. You know, so how has your spiritual tanning been going? Not all of us actually go out and tan, but you all know what I'm talking about. You all get it. Does your spiritual life look like it's the end of summer, where you've been outside a whole bunch, running around, being in the presence of the sun? Or does it look like the middle or the end of winter, where it starts to fade, where there's a lack of consistent exposure? Our spiritual life requires us to be in the light. And Christ is our source. We need to walk with Him. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Life cannot exist without light. Not only true physically, but it's true spiritually as well. And just as the sun is our source of light here on earth, the sun is our source of life spiritually. A source of life for our souls. And guess what? That light, it shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not and will not overcome it. When we spend time in the light, the darkness in our own lives, it fades away. Because even by definition of darkness, darkness is the absence of light. So we're in one or the other. But if we're not connected with Christ, if we don't spend time bathing in His glory, then we aren't experiencing life. So church, are you living in the light of Christ this morning? Do you spend time to just sit in His presence? And I want to challenge you to spend time every day. Read the Word. Spend time in prayer. Because if we want to learn how to be the light of the world, just as Jesus calls us to be, then we need to be connected to Him. He is the light of life. And it's just like God declared at the beginning, let there be light. Amen.